You are listening to the CMC Podcast. Join us each week for messages designed to equip, inspire, and motivate. And now for today's message from Pastor Tim Brooks.
Well, I want to welcome you. Are you glad you're here? Welcome you to Panel Sunday. That's always a highlight for us. Last week, we shared our vision for 2019. That's making disciples. Matthew 28:18-19, it's very clear. It's not a suggestion. It's not a good idea. It's a very clear command from Jesus. Verse 19, go make disciples. That's what he said, go make disciples. Verse 20, here's what he said. Teach these new disciples to obey all the commands that I've given you. There's not a lot of ambiguity there. Right. Here's what we're called to do. The church turned this over the centuries into an evangelistic mandate and begin to preach a salvation message with an altar call every Sunday, a salvation message and an altar call. And now we have millions and millions in church, 70 to 80% of America polls Christian, and we've done a great job evangelizing, but we're in an avalanche, a fall like right. that's unprecedented of any form of biblical morality, of biblical thinking on life issues. The immorality that we are seeing is unprecedented in America. All the while, some 80% of America saying, I'm Christian, yet we are the majority voting for things that God says he hates, God says he curses, God says is a sin. Right. And I want to say the church has done a great job getting people to bow their heads, nobody looking around and slip a hand up. We've done a great job with True. That because we're polling a Christian nation. Right. We did a great job with that, but the church has clearly forgotten and lost the mandate of making disciples, teaching them all that Jesus taught. There's no question about what direction our church has got to take looking at where we are in America. We got to make disciples. I'm going to talk about this with me and glad to have those join us on podcast today. I want you to know that are joining us. I've got Josh Barnett, Melissa Glenn, Paul Kern here with me in our panel today. And we're going to talk about making disciples. And I believe we've got to talk about this because I'm not sure that we know what a disciple is.
Right.
I'm not sure. Now, everybody in America knows the word disciple. And we might could mutter a few words about a definition, but we know what it is to slip a hand up and slip it back down and to call ourselves a Christian, but I'm not sure that we know what a disciple is. Melissa, start us off.
Yes, sir. When I think of disciple, I think of apprenticeships, kind of like when you go into a trade or something and you learn someone else's trade. So a disciple is someone who follows after someone else. And Dietrich Bonhoeffer, someone that Josh and I both love a lot, he said that when Jesus calls a man, he actually bids him to come and die. And so we can get excited about I'm going to be a disciple, I'm going to follow someone, but it's actually an invitation to come and die and take on the life of Christ. Mm-hmm. In Luke 9:23, it says, if anyone should come after me, he must deny himself, take up his cross daily, and follow me. And I think a lot of times we get the idea that, this is a man on the stage speaking, and I'm going to take some of the stuff that he teaches me and add it to my life that I'm already living. But it's actually a call to surrender our agenda and actually take on the life of Christ.
Wow, what a word.
Yeah, that's so good. I think many times we look at, like we hire our pastors or our mm-hmm. ministers or whoever, that they're the ones that's making me a disciple or they're the ones that are doing this. But actually the call of a pastor Paul goes into it in Ephesians 4, that we, the office of the ministry is to equip the saints.
Right.
And the saint's job is then to make disciples.
That's right.
And so many times we have to look at it as ourselves, as it's not this person making me a disciple. They're equipping me so that I can go make disciples. And so it's almost like we've hired our professional disciple makers, but it's actually a mandate. It's a call for all of us to go and do that.
I don't want to interrupt here, but just I think this is a mindset that we have in America. You know, years ago, you did everything. Mm-hmm. I mean, you did everything, and you were sort of a self-sufficient. You and your wife and your kids, you did everything. Mm-hmm. But we're in a specialized thinking. Mm-hmm. If my car breaks down, I'm going to take it to the mechanic. Now, even more than that, if the transmission goes out, a transmission mechanic or a brake mechanic or, we're so specialized. Call a roofer, call a plumber, call an electrician, go to a tire shop. Mm-hmm. And I believe that bleeds over in our... And you call out your vocation, yeah. But here's what the pastor does. Mm-hmm. And go back to your point, Josh. I didn't mean to interrupt you.
No. That was it. That's all it is that we have to see that the Great Commission is a call for all of us, that we're all called to make disciples. It's not just me doing it in youth group or Paul doing it with Leaders Academy or Tim doing it with us, but it's mm-hmm. everybody. It's the mandate for the Christian is that we are disciples and we are supposed to go make disciples. We don't hire somebody to do that for us.
Good.
That's
good.
Yeah. Yeah. I agree with what you said. I think we get conditioned. Mm-hmm. You know, I think about going to school. You know, for 12 years, you're going to school. What do? You come to school, you sit in a seat, and somebody talks to you, mm-hmm. and then you go home. Well, that can carry over into church.
Right.
We come to church, we sit in a seat, and we go home.
Yeah.
Well, yes, we are students, and Jesus is our teacher, but Jesus didn't call us students. He called us disciples. Mm-hmm. And disciples make disciples. So like mm-hmm. Josh said, the mm-hmm. whole role of us coming to church on Sunday and us coming to church on Wednesday is, number one, to give God glory.
Sure,
obviously.
Sure,
that's
sure.
the main reason we come to church. Number two, to build up our brothers and sisters in Christ. You know, as we fellowship together and we connect, we encourage one another in our race that we're running. But we're coming to church also to be encouraged and be equipped so that we can go out mm-hmm. and encourage and equip others.
Right.
And we've got to begin to see ourselves not just as a person who attends a meeting. And mm-hmm. I can't remember where I read it in a book or heard someone say this preaching one time. They said, church is not a moment, it's a movement.
Mm-hmm.
It's a verb.
Yeah. Right. Well, I think what you're saying there is what's got to happen on your job site.
Mm. Right.
You have younger employees working for you
mm-hmm.
during the day at lunch.
Right.
You're imparting biblical thinking about daily issues.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Well, that word, I don't know, you just jumped out to me, apprenticeship.
Right.
Mm-hmm. I never thought about that.
Yeah,
but, you
absolutely.
Know, we're saying, what is a disciple? What is that? Listen, that's a great word.
Right.
And I feel like we're always, I remember the Lord telling me after college, you're called to three relationships. You always should have three relationships. One of them is somebody who should be kind of over you, like a Paul. Like I'm reaching out and saying, okay, what can you teach me? I want to mm-hmm. learn. I want to be imparted into. So I'm the one that's being the disciple. But you're also called to find Timothys, people that you're around. And that can be sometimes a little bit more intentional or a little bit requiring more effort. But sometimes it's just in the common, you know, you're passing here and there. Paul said, the things that you observed us. So sometimes it may be from a distance that you observe, and then mm-hmm. sometimes it may be right close to them. And the third one is a Barnabas-type person where you're walking in encouragement and you're cheering each other on.
That's great.
But you should always have someone you're learning from and someone you're giving to.
That's a great
and
point.
Be intentional mm-hmm. about
yeah.
that.
That's
great. And I think many times we going along the same vein here is that we want the churches to like make a program for us to go disciple. But Jesus made it really simple. Go make disciples of all nations, teaching them to observe all that I've commanded.
Mm-hmm.
And so it's not like we have to have this program where we have like the church is going to set up this thing. And not that programs are wrong.
Right.
But I think many times we want somebody else to create this thing for me so that I can go do it. When you can, like Tim was saying, you can make disciples on the job site.
Mm-hmm. Right.
You make disciples with the kids in your home. You make disciples mm-hmm. with the people that you the people that you do life with, the people that you share the gospel with, the people your friends who may not know about your neighbors who may not know about the Lord, and you're teaching them to observe all that God has commanded.
I think we've become very compartmentalized also in our thinking.
Absolutely.
And I come to church
and
from 11 to 12 or whatever time it is, mm-hmm. this is the compartment, and we do.
Right.
We come in here and we worship and we give and we participate. I mean, we're all in.
That's it.
But the second we walk out that door, then I go into my mode here.
Mm-hmm.
I go into my mode there, and what Melissa opened us with, daily.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
I take my cross daily. Yes, we come to church, but daily. This
Every
is
day.
A daily thing.
I agree
that
with
doing.
That. I think it's a lot more organic than what we've made it.
Sure.
You know, Jesus was connecting with people out in the public arena all the time. It wasn't like necessarily a church function. And once again, that's what we're called to do.
Mm-hmm.
But I think it's a lot more organic than that. And so, okay, so what does that look like? You know, what does that organic thing look like? Well, that to me, that looks like what the scripture says here. And I just want to share Romans chapter 12, verse 10. It says, be devoted to tenderly loving your fellow believers as members of one family. Try to outdo yourselves in respect and honor to one another. Be enthusiastic to serve the Lord, keeping your passion toward Him boiling hot. Radiate with the glow of the Holy Spirit. Let Him fill you with excitement as you serve Him. Let this hope burst forth within you, releasing a continual joy. Don't give up in time of trouble, but commune with God at all times. Take a constant interest in the needs of God's beloved people and respond by helping them, and eagerly welcome people as guests in your home. To me, that's what discipleship looks like. Mm-hmm. It's just doing life with people every day and taking what, you know, Tim has invested years of training into my life.
Right.
And I've invested years of training into Melissa's life and some into Josh's life. And that just, we just pay that forward. That's what that looks like. We're just paying that forward every single day as we're going throughout our normal daily
routines. Well, when you read the New Testament, especially Acts in the early church, clearly they did teach in the temple. I mean, there were times that you read about them teaching in the temple. But if you will study that, that time is a whole lot less than the ministry that took place just walking down the street.
Right. Mm-hmm.
Even in Jesus' life, he was traveling from this point. It said he was going to this town. Well, on the way there, on your way to town, on your way to work, on your way to your vacation spot at a gas station, a spiritual moment happened.
Right. Mm-hmm.
And, you know, we read about those spiritual moments that Jesus had. But to put those in context, they were while he was on his way to where he was going, this beggar on the street or this blind or this woman pushed through the crowd or this whatever the situation, we read over and over and over. Those were just normal course of events while he was going to wherever he was going and doing whatever he was going to go do.
Absolutely. And I think many times I run into people and they're like, well, I'm not a pastor. I'm not a whatever. I don't teach the word. I don't do that. But I think we got to stop waiting till we feel like we're qualified, because understand that Jesus is the one that makes us qualified, and it's a command for us to go do this. It's not a suggestion, and he didn't give a beginning date. He didn't say, when you finish seminary, then go make disciples.
Yeah.
And he was talking to the disciples there, and in context, if he's talking to them there, he's also talking to me. He's also talking to you. He's commanding us to go and do this, and so that's one thing I even tell our youth group is you're not too young to make disciples
right now.
I don't know how we got here, and I don't know if I was trying to figure it out, which I have been. I don't know if it's insecurities in pastors that want to know something nobody else knows. And we have lofted the pastor's role, and a lot of times I hear them talking in words. I don't even know what that word means. I don't even know what you're talking about.
Right.
And he's using all these religious words, and I'm just going there, I don't even know what you're talking about or what you're saying, but look how smart I am, and I know Hebrew, and I know... Well, that's done something to our thinking, Josh, to where I can't. I don't know all that.
Mm-hmm.
Look, just at the gas pump.
Right.
You can say, you know, here's what you might want to think about.
Right.
And I believe we making disciples is this lofty spiritual thing that it just isn't.
Yeah.
It's just riding in a car with a friend on your way duck hunting,
on a
fishing boat with a friend fishing. And, you know, here's what I think about what's going on. You know, here's what I understand the Bible says about whatever this foreign policy issue is or whatever.
Well, I will say, too, we were talking, the both agree that the most effective way to discipleship is just to model life.
Right.
It's Paul said, follow me as I follow Christ.
Right.
So that 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 1, follow me as I follow Christ. And so it's important that we have younger believers around us.
Mm-hmm.
You know, Sarah and I, the best way that we can teach young people about marriage is to have them in our home.
That's it.
The most I have learned from Pastor Tim, Pastor Paul, Pastor David, even Pastor Stephen while he was here, the most I've learned from y'all was not from sermons that you preach, but was just by being in your homes and being around you.
That's such a great point.
I learned how to love my wife, not by you talking to me about by loving my wife, but by watching you guys love your wives like Christ loves the church, and seeing that example, seeing it played out every day.
Yeah. And that's a simple thing. You think, oh, I don't know anything about Hebrew and Greek. Just on the job while you're working.
Sure.
You know, here's what my wife said, and here's what I said. You know, here's what we did in our home last night. And you got this young guy working for you. Wow, I never thought about
that. Right. Well, my story was a lost guy coming from a broken, alcoholic, dysfunctional family. God called me here to Arkansas. Okay, so here I am, this 23-year-old guy. I don't know how to do life at all. I mean, I know absolutely. I'm just messed up. And I was so grateful for Tim at 35 years old. And I'm just taking you guys back a little ways.
I was 35. He was. Nobody thinks that, but I was.
And he did look different when I met him. But God moved on Tim's heart. Okay, I want you to make disciples. Okay, well, how do I do that? I live out here in Jesseville in the middle of nowhere, and back then it was really the middle of nowhere. Yeah. When we got a subway in, we thought we were in Tall Cotton. I'm telling you.
That's the first thing came out
here. That was the first thing, and we thought, wow. But putting an internship out in the middle of a cow pasture. Mm-hmm. Well, I went to Tim's house. Now, this is when Lindley and Melissa, his daughters, were just really little girls, just really small. But I had never, church, I had never my whole life been in a Christian home.
Wow.
I'd never seen a dad and a mom getting along, not fighting. Mm-hmm. I thought that they were putting on a show. I did. I thought, mm-hmm. These people, they're putting on a show for me to see. Well, then they had me in their home all the time. Mm-hmm. I would go up there and I'd say, they're still getting along, still being nice, girls are still doing. And all of a sudden, I got a vision for what I wanted.
Mm-hmm.
I got a vision for the kind of life I wanted to have. And so now my wife and I, and just like Josh mentioned, we've had countless young men live in our home over the years. I've got a young man living in my home right now. Mm-hmm. And he's learning how to have a savings account. He's learning how to be to work on time. Mm-hmm. He's learning how to love God. He's learning how to overcome adversity. That is how we teach and disciple people. Yep. It's not just coming to church on Sunday morning, but it requires something of us.
Mm-hmm.
Sacrifice, investment. Mm-hmm. It takes time. It's work. I mean, and sometimes it can be a pain. It really can. But, church, what are we here for?
Yeah.
What are we here for?
Well, it's interesting. It's interesting just picking up on your testimony. And I wish he would brag on me and my teaching ability, but I added it up recently with the hours he's been in church, Sunday morning and Wednesday night, with the hours I had him in college, with the hours he's heard me speak. We're talking over 5,000, 6,000 hours that I've stood at a podium and he's heard me teach. And what did he talk about? Not one of those great sermons that I delivered. Not one of them. What impressed him was coming over to eat with my wife and I.
That's right.
My point here is, don't think you have to know Hebrew and Greek and be a Bible scholar.
Right.
When you have somebody and you take them out to eat, they've never seen a man open the door for his wife.
Right.
Sit down. Mm-hmm. I think Paul sat there staring at me. He'd never seen a man take his family by the hand, bow their head, and pray over their meal. He didn't know how to live life. Mm-hmm. And so here we are serving one another, and somebody spilled something. So here's the way we clean that up. We weren't cussing and slinging and throwing rocks at people. I mean, you know, so my point in all of this is we're getting into our church going and making disciples. I don't want you to get this in some lofty term. We're talking about just helping a young guy have a savings account.
Sure. Right. Yeah.
Helping a young guy spend less money than he makes.
Mm-hmm.
You're making a disciple. That's a biblical principle.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah, and even like what we were saying earlier, waiting till we're qualified or trying to feel like, well, I'm too weak or my house is too much of a mess. But just starting where you're at, because that's what a disciple actually will learn from, is your weakness. Like, be transparent. Jesus is the one that qualifies you. Don't be afraid of your weakness. Your weakness is actually an invitation for God's strength to be perfected in your life. And so, you know, I feel like we have a generation being raised, and a lot of people, like you said, we live in an individualism. So, okay, I may be getting our vision for holiness, and I'm living holy, but who am I affecting? I'm just living holy into myself and the Lord.
That's good.
If we bring in people into our life and even into our messes, then they can see how we respond. They know what righteousness looks like. They know what repentance looks like. They know, hey, I did it wrong.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I'm sorry. This is how I should have responded to my wife, or this is what I should have said. But you have that living in that life. Timothy was commended by Paul because of his grandmother and because of his mother, just living in a family lifestyle. And on that, when Paul reached out to Timothy and he said, you have the same faith that your mother had, the same faith that your grandmother had, like, our responsibility is really to disciple our family. But then Paul comes in, not a part of his family, and says, now I'm going to remind you, stir up the gifts that God put in you.
Mm-hmm.
And so
that's great.
Comes from both ends. Like, we're doing this in a community together.
Well, that's great. Your family is really, really important. Joshua and I were just talking about this.
No, for sure. And even I was thinking, We just had our pastor's conference, minister's conference. A bunch of youth pastors were like, how do you get your kids to do this? And how do you get your students to do that? And how do you do this? And like, just model it for them. Mm-hmm. Just like, if you want them to do it, you got to do it. And then you can teach on it, but you got to model it for mm-hmm. them. And that's how parenting is, that we can't, as parents, our number one disciples. I got three main disciples. Their names are Micah, Judah, and Emma.
That's right.
And that is my main focus. Yeah. But we can't ask our kids to do things that we don't do ourselves.
That's right. Good.
You know, as I talk to teenagers, one of the biggest turnoffs of Christianity for them is their parents being hypocrites. Mm-hmm. Is their parents saying, don't talk like this, and then they talk like that. Mm-hmm. Or don't drink, and then they drink. Mm-hmm. Or don't. Or I want you to go to church, but they only go to church half the time. They go to church when they feel like it. Mm-hmm. And that's a big turnoff. And teenagers I see is, well, my parents are asking me to do things that they themselves aren't living out. They want me to act like Christ, and they're not acting like Christ. Mm-hmm. And so we can't ask our kids to pray without us praying. But I can't tell you countless times that my boys, already at 3 and 5 years old, come in all the time, and I'm not bragging on myself, but this is important that we as parents do this, that our kids, that they catch us spending time with the Lord, that they see us reading the Word, that they see me praying, that I'm modeling mm-hmm. a relationship with God before them, because that's going to speak way more volumes to them. Yes. We got to understand that our kids are learning way more by watching our lives than listening to our lectures.
Mm-hmm. That's true. On the job, out in daily life, you are making disciples oftentimes but not saying a single word.
That's true. Right.
Absolutely.
That's right. That's just the way that works.
Mm-hmm. Well, and I so appreciate what Melissa said, because I think all of us have a fear, you know, having somebody in our home, well, it's not neat enough. It's not nice enough. My home mm-hmm. isn't big enough or whatever. Or having people in our home and, well, they're going to see our family's imperfections. Yes, mm-hmm. they are. I mean, when they live with you, they're going to see your good days and your bad days. I've been mm-hmm. around Tim for a long time. I've seen his good days and his bad days. I've mm-hmm. seen his family's good days and bad mm-hmm. days. But we're people.
Right.
Mm-hmm. I mean, we're going to have those, but we're still married. Mm-hmm. We're still loving each other. We're still getting mm-hmm. along. We're still working it out. Well, that communicates something to people mm-hmm. that are around us. And so I really want to encourage our church, you know, don't be fearful of opening up your home. And don't worry about people tracking mud in your house. Floors can be replaced. Mm-hmm. Furniture can be replaced. I mean, I heard Tim say it all the time. If the couch is more important than people, we'll throw the darn thing out in the woods.
Right.
You know, we'll use it for firewood. And I didn't learn that growing up. That mentality, Tim, that changed me. I thought, that's right. You know, in all of eternity, am I going to stand before the Lord and say that I spent more money on my pet poodle and I was more concerned about my couch than I was about investing my life into people, because people are what life are all mm-hmm. about.
Mm-hmm. I just, in every area, whether it's people over at your house watching you, but during the day, mm-hmm. I mean, during your day, when crises happen during the day all the time.
Sure.
I mean,
sure.
If you're working, you're going to fall off of a ladder. You're going to hit your thumb with a hammer. Mm-hmm. I mean, if you're working, you're going to have a difficult situation on the job. Right then is when you're about to make a disciple.
That's right.
Yeah.
Right then, when a crisis hits you, when a call happens, and you hang this phone up, the guy sitting next to you, you're about to make a disciple when he sees how you mm-hmm. navigate through. Now, when this guy's watching you, do you navigate through there like Jesus would? Or do you forget you're a Christian and do your kids mm-hmm. see you come out with a string of cuss words?
No, absolutely. Right.
Melissa?
Yeah, I was just thinking at work, I work with a lot of people who are amazing people. I work as an interpreter for the deaf. So we're all in this call center together and we interact throughout the day, and the majority of them are probably not Christians. Well, used to be. I don't know if that's changing now. Because just living out practically what it looks like to be a Christian, you walk in the break room and somebody says something or does something, and they look at you like you're going to like lash out and be angry or say, no, that's not holy. But instead I respond, well, why did you say that? Like, are you having a bad day? What's going on? And actually looking like Jesus in that moment instead of looking like this religious box of what the church is supposed to look like in their mind. Then I've just taught them that Jesus is personal, you know, and I'm interacting. And it's been really neat to see the people that I'm becoming close to. Their language is changing. The way they interact with each other is changing. They're opening, they're buying Bibles and putting their names on them. They're reading them. And these are people who didn't even believe that God was a person. They just believed there was a force out there, now becoming And that just every That's single day amazing. In the last 5 years, just living life.
Well, this whole year, our theme, making disciples, teach them all that I taught you. Mm-hmm. Well, clearly, we're going to spend a lot of time reading the red letters in the Bible.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Mm-hmm. And what I want you to start looking for this year as we're reading Scripture, notice as we're learning to be like Jesus, notice Jesus was lied about. Okay, how did he handle that?
That's right. Good.
Okay,
no, that's
Jesus good. Was misunderstood. Mm-hmm. We're reading about this encounter with the Pharisees, and we go, Jesus was misunderstood.
Right.
On the job, he was lied about. Now, how did he react to that? It was his cousin was killed and beheaded.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah.
John.
Beheaded.
John.
Mm-hmm. A family member died. Mm-hmm. Now, when you get the phone call that a family member died, how did he navigate? Mm-hmm. Oh, that was Jesus. No, how did Jesus navigate that? Remember, he was in a boat. Now, the storm came up that the professional fishermen were scared for their life. So this wasn't just a little blowing thing. A storm came up that they were scared for their life. All right, when you're in a situation and you are literally scared for your life, how do you handle that?
Yep.
Right then, that boat full of folks were watching Jesus. How did Jesus handle that kind of situation when everybody thought he was going to die?
Mm-hmm. That's mm-hmm. really good. I remember years ago, and I just want to share a story of me working more in a secular marketplace than in a religious marketplace like I do now. And all of these guys have all done that. Mm-hmm. You know, Tim did horses, and Josh has done landscaping, mm-hmm. and Melissa's doing it every day. And because sometimes we can sit here and we can go, well, it's easy for you to say, you know, you're at the church. You know, you're not out in the marketplace around people, and Paul, you don't know who I work with. Well, we've all been there.
Yeah.
All of us. And whether or not you're in church or you're out of church, I mean, you've got in-laws and outlaws that you got to deal with. You know, mm-hmm. that's just the way it works. But, you know, I remember when I first graduated from Applied Life and I was just, you know, a very young, fresh disciple in the Lord, and I was learning how to do this. And, you know, I'd heard these things. I'd been taught these things, and I had read the red letters of Jesus. And so here I am working in this air conditioning field. And there were 11 guys on my side, and there were 11 guys on the electrical side. There were 11 guys on the air conditioning side. And out of all of those guys, there were only two men there that were Christians, and they were older men that were about to retire. All the other guys that worked there, you know, it's just your typical workplace. And a lot of you who work out in the work world know what I'm talking about. Dirty jokes and talking about partying the night before and who they slept with and getting drunk and all mm-hmm. this stuff. And I'm immersed in that, and I'm around that every day. But I'm modeling it. I'm modeling it, right? Mm-hmm. Well, there's this guy that I did service calls with. He lived with his girlfriend. He was lost. He just wasn't living for the Lord. He didn't really know God. And I just tried to model it. Well, I was there on that job for a couple of years, and God opened up a door for me to go somewhere else. So 2 years after I left that company, I was sitting in my house one night, and I got a phone call. And I picked up the phone, and, you know, that's when we had landlines, right? And so I picked up the phone. You know, nobody knows what that is.
Oh, you're old.
I picked up the phone. The phone rang, and this guy introduced himself, and he said his name, and I was trying to put it together because it had been 2 years, and all of a sudden I realized it was this guy that I worked with 2 years ago.
Sure.
And he was just kind of talking about the weather, and it was kind of awkward. And I said, well, and I'll just make up a fictitious name. I'll just say, well, Jimmy, you know, I know you didn't call me to talk about the weather. What's going on? He says, well, I got saved last night, and you're the first person I wanted to call.
That's
wow. Awesome.
Been several years.
2 years.
Hmm. That's awesome.
So I just want to encourage you, church. You know, you work with people every day, mm-hmm. you know. You see them in the break room. You work out there with them, and you don't feel like you're making any difference whatsoever. But if you'll live your life mm-hmm. in a way that they see Jesus, you can have an impact. Mm-hmm. And you know, aside from teaching and opening up the Word and doing lunch together and going over a lesson or whatever, I mean, obviously all those things are important.
Yeah.
I thought that was such a powerful
thing. And not
thing.
One time in your heat and air-conditioned career did you take a Bible study with you and have Bible study with those guys.
No.
Not one time did you go through chapter 3 and chapter 4 mm-hmm. of making a disciple book with those guys.
Right.
You were just working and hooking up air conditioning.
That's right.
Josh, I want to take just a quick minute and go back to mm-hmm. something you and I were talking about before we even came out here, mm-hmm. because I don't want to just pass that over.
Sure.
You already introduced it a little bit about Yes, we're making disciples by having people over in our home. We're making disciples by folks in our workplace. But our home and our family, and you said you're the three that you're most responsible for. But I want to talk a little bit more about the importance of parenting.
No, absolutely. It's key. I mean, it's key. They learn everything they're going to learn about God. They're going to learn by watching me and what I do. And a lot of times, and what I set in my life, what I prioritize in my life, what we make is important. Is huddling around the TV every night, is that the important thing, or are we gonna not that you can't watch TV, but to get together and pray, we do a little devo with our boys at night, but to model in front of them how I prioritize my life and even training their thinking now, because you know they're 5 and 3, it's not like on the top of their want to do list of coming to church. So they're like, oh, Dad, I don't want to go to church tomorrow. I'm like, buddy, we get to go to church tomorrow. I am so excited that we get to go worship Jesus with our church family tomorrow, that we get to go to the altar and pray, and we get to listen to a sermon that we get to be poured into by a pastor that's been faithful in the place of prayer to give us something that God has got for him. So I'm already leading their thinking on what is a priority in our life, and we're not gonna miss church. We're not gonna miss our prayer time. We're not going to miss our devo, even if it's late at night, even if it's been a long day, even if I'm mad or I'm frustrated, I just want to go lay down and close my eyes. But I'm going to show them through modeling that this is a priority. This is what we do.
We've got to get right thinking in our own lives. And Josh and I have talked about this over the years. Now think about this. You've got 13, 14, 15, whatever. You got a child in the home. If you got a child in the home, you're having problems with that child. Let's just start with that, okay? They're difficult to manage, and you're trying to discipline them, and you're trying to correct them, and you're trying to bring them to a new level. And here's what we're seeing. Here's what happens. All right, young man, no youth group for 6 weeks.
It happens all the time.
Yeah.
All the time.
All right. The next 3 weeks, you're staying home. You're not going to youth group tonight because you're smart mouth. You didn't clean your room like I told you. No youth group for 3 weeks. See how you like that? Okay, now let's think that through.
Right.
Is that what is Josh teaching on tonight? Mm-hmm. Respectful to parents. loving your mom and dad. All right, what's the subject in youth group that you just grounded them from?
I will say it is rare that I don't at least mention honoring your parents in youth group. It's a constant thing.
Well, I can tell you right now, my kid's not coming tonight because he didn't make his bed up. I don't want him hearing that.
Many times my question is, okay, so are you grounding him from basketball practice too? Can he not go play in his basketball game or his football game?
All right, easy now. We're getting over into personal life here.
By doing that, we show them what we prioritize and what we say, what's important, what's not important.
Good. Yeah, we just got to have some right thinking. We just got to.
Well, and once again, you know, you model it in the home. You know, how do you react? How do you get along? How do you talk to one another? How do you treat each other? You know, I think it's really easy in primary relationships to take advantage.
Yeah.
You come to work, you're not going to talk to your boss like that. You'll get fired.
Yeah.
And you know you'll get fired. So you exercise restraint. You know, but at home, we're around people. Hey, they're married to me. They got to put up with me. These are my kids, and this is the way it's always going to be. So I'll just talk to them like that. Wow. And we've got to make sure that, you know, we're walking in the Spirit. And like Josh said, not just having devos and time together like that, which are highly important, but it's just how we interact with each other every day and how we're treating one another. Once again, that was the thing. You know, your teachings have definitely changed my life, Tim, but, you know, the teaching that you taught me sitting around your supper table was huge, and it impacted me so much that I said, that's what I got to do.
Right.
I have to be honest with you. My wife and I, and she'll be here at the second service, my wife and I, we had some arguments. We had some disagreements, you know. You're going to have people over again tonight. You know, we had this going on. And yeah, it's right. And like Josh said, I didn't want to do it either. I'm tired. Sure. I got stuff going on too. But life is short. And you only have one opportunity to make a difference. And I'm not going to stand before the Lord and, you know, God said, you could have done all these things and you didn't because you'd rather sit around watching television. You know, I'll watch television later. Right now, I need to be helping change a life.
That's great.
Yeah. Well, I was just thinking, were you going to lead something?
No, go ahead. But I just want to go ahead. Go ahead. You do first.
Okay. I was going to say, a lot of times we get into this feeling like we have to do it in our own strength. But even Jesus, when he said, okay, now I want you to go out and do this, But he says, well, wait a minute, I'm going to be with you always, even to the end of the age. And in Luke, it says, he says, wait, hold up, before you go anywhere, you need power. You need the Holy Spirit. And Jesus said, I don't do anything apart from the Father. Mm-hmm. I'm connected to the Father. I only do what I see him doing. I only say what I see him or hear him saying. So I'm going to do that. So it's just this continuation of, we're not doing it on our own. We're depending on the Holy Spirit. We're depending on Jesus. We're connected to a person. We're not looking at something and going, this is what it looks like to be a disciple. Do A plus X equals Z, whatever.
Right.
I'm connected to a human being, a person. God took on flesh, Emmanuel, and I'm going to live after him and then look like him.
Yeah,
that's
so I want to come right back to you because you had opened us with the word follow. Mm-hmm. You opened us with that word. I want you to go back and pick up on that. But let me read two scriptures passages here. Mark chapter 1, verse 16. One day Jesus was walking along the shore of the Sea of Galilee, not in a temple, not doing something religious. He's walking on the shore. He sees Simon, his brother Andrew, throwing a net into the water, for they fish for a living. Jesus called out to them, come follow me, and I'll show you how to fish for people. And they left their nets, and at once they followed him. Then we flip the page, chapter 2, verse 13. Jesus is going out to the lake shore again. He's teaching some crowds. As he walked along, he sees Levi sitting in his tax collector booth. Follow me, be my disciple, Jesus said. So Levi got up and followed him. You know, this is not talking about quit your job.
Right.
Mm-hmm. That's not the point
that's
of this.
Good.
I'm walking away. Jesus called me to quit my job to do nothing. You're missing the point.
Mm-hmm.
They left their former lifestyle.
Right.
They
right.
left their former way of living, the former mm-hmm. way of thinking, their former way of conducting life.
Right.
They left that and they followed him. And listen, I want you to go back to how you opened us with about, we're talking about what a disciple looks like is following.
Yeah, an invitation to surrender your agenda. We get caught up in our agenda,
what
we feel like, what we think should happen. But that's why Jesus said, count the cost. Like, being a Christian, we can walk around, and it's really popular, like you said, 80-something percent of Americans are Christians. But if you look at the fruit, you're thinking, this is what it's like to be a Christian. But Jesus puts a higher level of what it's called to be a Christian, like a higher cost. But then he also says, my burden is light. Come to me. Learn from me. He's a very humble teacher. And he reserves his wisdom and his teaching for those who are also humble. Mm-hmm. But yeah, it's a practical every day. I'm opening my Bible. I'm learning what does it look like to be like you. And I'm talking to him throughout the day. And I'm asking for correction and for wisdom. And then he brings people into my life. But
so
it's just a very breathing throughout the day, walking with Jesus type thing.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So encouraging too. When you have taken time to invest into people,
right,
and then you see them walking around, and they're part of your fruit, of your efforts, I mean, that encourages you.
Absolutely.
I mean, that's a big deal to you. Not that you take the reward for it, but you did have something to do with it. You know, you were involved in helping them grow and get closer to Christ and learn how to manage their life and do things the right way.
Mm-hmm.
So it's a rewarding thing.
Absolutely.
It feels really good.
Absolutely. That's good. That's good.
It's encouraging that he doesn't just leave us and say, okay, figure this out. But until he returns, his plan is, like, for example, family is like the vessel of growth. And so you learn how to eat, bank account, all of these things, walk, you know, don't spit up in front of people, stuff like that, like practical stuff that you're learning in the environment of family, but in the environment of church, community, work, all of this stuff is God's plan until he returns. So we're not out here just trying to figure out, okay, well, now that I'm in this new season of my life, I guess I better figure it out myself. No, I'm going over to Paul and Angela's house, and I'm going, hey, this is what life looks like. What did you do? What can I do? And then I'm taking other people and saying, this is what I learned.
Yes, she was just there last week.
That's right.
Just talking with my wife. And you know, I want to encourage our crowd here, because we have a little bit older crowd in our first service. You know, when you're in the place where Josh is at, and, you know, you're raising your family, life is busy. You have a lot going on. But when you get into the phase of life that you are now, it looks a little bit different.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, and I watch people as they get older, because I read people and I watch and I'm learning all the time. You know, when life begins to somewhat change for you, it gives you even more of an opportunity to do some things
that
maybe you couldn't have done when you were younger because you were just doing everything you could just to keep your kids fed. You know, we were talking backstage earlier. I watch men have midlife crisis and women have midlife crisis, and I didn't have time to have a midlife crisis.
I wanted to,
exactly. But I didn't have time to have one of those because I had young people that were around me all the time that were watching me and that I was training and investing. I had teams of people that I was poured into and people that I was accountable to. So I think it's important if we'll put ourselves in a position, God's way works.
Yeah. Well, and I talk about this a lot, but just this last week, I had to run up here to the top of the hill, and I had to do some business there at the mailbox, et cetera. I needed to ship some stuff, and invariably, when I go up there, the parking space that is open is the one right in front of the beer joint or the honky tonk, or I don't know what we call them these days. My kids make fun of me, but here it is. That's the parking space that is open, and I'm wait just a minute. My truck doesn't need to be parked there for somebody to drive by. I back up and I park over here and then I walk in because I am making disciples.
Mm-hmm. That's true.
And I'm making disciples when I go up to mail a package. Mm-hmm. I'm making disciples. You're making disciples where you park your truck. You don't underestimate your lifestyle.
Well, I was thinking it's been like 13 years ago. We did the Valentine's banquet or something. You dressed up like Elvis. And you got your costume from a store in town. And I drove by and I saw your truck in front of that store. And I was like, what's he doing in front of that store? But it was that springy dinky store.
You've been scarred for the last 13 years.
People
are
watching.
I walked in there, I knew I shouldn't have been in that store. But I can tell you right now, there was a cloud in the roof of that building. And it brought me back to my college days. There was a cloud in that college dorm. And I remembered the smell of that smoke. And it wasn't Marlboro smoke. I thought, I don't need to be in here doing this right now.
That's
not where I need to be.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
No, it's great. It's all about modeling. It's all about living it out in front of people and everywhere you go.
Mm-hmm. It is. Well, it always happens with us. I don't know how this goes so fast, but here we are with our panel. Time really goes fast. We seem to run out of time very, very quick. But our church this year, we're moving in a great direction. Mm-hmm. We're moving in a great direction. We're moving in a direction that we need to be moving in. And each one of us individually, not as a church corporately, but each one of us individually, mm-hmm. I want to personally in my life, with my mouth, with my attitude, with my temper, I want to take my life to a new level mm-hmm. in my walk with the Lord. And I want us all in here. We're locking arms and we are pursuing not our own agenda, but we're pursuing following the Lord mm-hmm. in everything that we do. Y'all stand with mm-hmm. me. Lord, today we read in your word where our life is not our own. We are to die to ourselves and our own agenda. And Lord, our life is to be lived putting you first. God, in every area of our life, in all the ways that we serve your people, in every area, whether it's serving them by putting in an air conditioner for them or serving them by putting a roof on their house or fixing a leaky pipe. Lord, in every area that we serve people, use us. Use our life as a sermon that would be greater than any sermon that any preacher would ever preach. Lord, that by our life, by our attitude, by our vocabulary, by our temperament, that others around us don't see us and our flesh, but they see you and your spirit as we daily put off the flesh and we put on your spirit. God, direct us and guide us as our church pursues following you. In Jesus' name, amen.
You have been listening to the CMC podcast. For more information about CMC, our different conferences, Christian school, college internship, resources, and more, go to cmchurch.com.